This is the Adam Gold Show.
Major League Baseball's expanded postseason tournament started today. Started, 22 minutes ago. And they are going to the bottom of the second inning in Cleveland with the Guardians and Rays scoreless. We have managed to get through at least the first round of the playoffs without an Angel Hernandez sighting. I don't know. I'm not even sure Angel Hernandez is eligible. Elliot Johnson, who has played for three of his four teams, are in the postseason. I'm sure he's tortured by who to root for. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. No Angel Hernandez umping the playoffs, but I'm not even. Was Angel Hernandez even in the big leagues this year?
Yeah,
he was. He's still suing, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, the umpire auditor, it's been putting out rankings today. I was looking at scrolling on Twitter today, and they put out some rankings, and they were just throwing Doug Eddings under the bus where he belongs because he's terrible. I don't know where Angel is, but I would imagine he's close to the bottom. But there are some guys that are good. The problem is we don't really highlight the guys that are good. We only highlight the guys that are bad, right? Because, you know, you can go watch a good game. You don't even notice the umpire, right? But when you notice the umpire, it kind of throws everything else off.
Well, Doug Eddings has the plate for this game between Cleveland and Tampa. I want to start at the end of the day. So you're the Mets. You won 101 games, tied for third in Major League Baseball with the Braves, the team you lost the wild card to, lost the division out to because you got swept in the three games in Atlanta and you lost the season series. How hard is it to kind of refocus and get back? Or it's just a playoff game, so you're in the playoffs and that's enough?
Yeah, so I'm going to probably take this a different direction than you're probably anticipating. But, I mean, if you're that worried and that worked up about the past, you're probably not playing in a Major League uniform. I mean, none of that stuff really matters anymore at this point. It doesn't help you to focus on any of that. I would completely flush it. The issue is it will come because, you know, the media is going to bring it up to you, you know, pregame, postgame, all that sort of stuff when you play against them. But for now, it doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters. You're dancing. You can be the Nationals again. You can limp in and be, you know, wild card team. And if you don't lose a series the rest of the year, you're a World Series champ. It doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters now. All that matters is winning today. And it doesn't matter what happened in the past. Sure. Would it have been better for them to do that? Maybe, maybe not. Who knows?
Right.
But reality is that you've got a game that you have to win on any particular day, and none of that stuff is relevant. If you're worried about that stuff, then, you know, I really don't want to play with you.
Can you make it? Well, I'm glad we weren't teammates then. No, could you make an argument? Because I have made this argument before, whether it was the wild card or in other sports where your team has the bye and the other team had to play. Could you make an argument that it might actually work to not just the Mets, but any team that has to play in this round to their advantage that they're playing in a series now as opposed to the other teams that are waiting for at least another 4 days or 5 days before they play?
Right. So it's optics, right? So it only matters if you think it matters. So what I would do if I was managing, whatever, if I was in the clubhouse, either way, you spin it as a positive and you're just playing mental games is really all you're doing. So where to your point, though, the team that comes to my mind, number one, abundantly clear. Do you remember when the Rockies just ran the table in the National League and then it snowed? And they got delayed, and the Red Sox were battling with the Yankees and whoever it was, and they came in super hot. Well, the Rockies were hotter than the Red Sox, if you can imagine that. But the Red Sox had been playing the entire time, and so I think when the Rockies came out, they came out flat. The game, you know, the ball was moving a little quicker than they were used to. The Red Sox were effectively still in playoff mode, whereas the Rockies had been sitting on their, you know, butts for the last, you know, week and a half, whatever it was. And they got absolutely trucked by the Red Sox and got swept. So there is something to be said for it. But in reality, you're just playing mind games. Because if you're sitting at them, you use it as a positive because you can say, look, let's take the time to get healthy. Let's get our arms in the correct order of who we want to face and when we want to face them. Rather than, you know, the teams that are playing now, you got to go with what you go with and you hope for the best. The teams that are waiting, they can line things up and play. They can play it a little more patiently than the guys that are currently playing now. So it's six and one, half dozen in the other, and you really just spin it however you need to benefit your team at any given day.
When was the last time the Dodgers played a meaningful baseball game?
Well, so I'm actually taking your line from one of the last couple times we talked, and you said that the Dodgers have clinched the division for 2023 already.
Yeah.
I like that one. That one's wonderful. It hasn't been since, what, July, maybe?
Something like that.
Probably something like that. I think the Southern California attitude is going on there. Freddie Freeman was playing for a little bit of action there down the stretch. I think he had a couple of interesting milestones that he was trying to get, but that's an individual thing. I think they've had some individual stories going on that they've been trying to meet some goals with. I've gotten to read Fernando Valenzuela's name a lot recently, so that's been fun. But overall, I still think they're the favorite, Adam.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's going to beat them. If the Braves do, I could see that happening, but I think it's going to be a little different this year than it was last year.
Well, if the Mets beat the Padres, the Mets are going to Los Angeles. And as a Mets fan, I'm going to spin it in a positive way. Max Scherzer and Yu Darvish tonight. Darvish has owned the Mets, by the way, not only this year but in his career. But I'm not sure that matters when we get to postseason play. But he's 2-0 this year, one earned run in 14 innings, 15 strikeouts, one walk. Scherzer didn't pitch great, but didn't pitch badly. He just lost when the Mets played when he faced the Padres earlier this season. But if the Mets can get out of this series with wins today and tomorrow, it lines Jacob DeGrom up to go Game One in L.A. And if there is a Game 5, likely Game 5 in L.A. with Scherzer probably in Game 2 or 3, maybe the first game at home. The one thing the Mets can do is they can roll out great starting pitching, but I'm not sure that's the most important thing in a series anymore.
Oh, it still is. It absolutely is. So the storylines are always going to start with the starting pitcher for sure. The Braves having Spencer Strider has been huge, right?
Right.
I mean, he's filled a huge void. But, anytime – I guess you could put it this way. When I was with the Rays, we were rolling out David Price, who won the Cy Young in 12, and James Shields in 11. I think he got second or third. We always felt like we had a chance to win all the time. Jeff Niemann was outstanding mm-hmm. in 2011, 2012. So we always felt like we had a chance to win every game. We didn't care who we were playing. So, but at the same time, if you get that kind of feeling – I can remember Altuve when they made a call to the bullpen and they brought in somebody he wasn't excited about, and he kind of just went, oh, no. So that if you have that feeling going to the yard, you need to score runs. I think anytime you have DeGrom, you have Scherzer going, you feel pretty good about you don't care who you're facing. You feel like you're going to win.
Yes, except that the other team just has decent enough starting pitching, it might not matter. And the Braves didn't have the better starter in either of the three games in Atlanta. But the Braves won all three of those games and actually outpitched the Mets starter in all three of those games. I think it just depends. I love Atlanta's makeup. I mean, that people think I'm crazy, but I kind of think the Braves are the team to beat.
Well, no, that's not crazy at all. They're hot right now, too, especially, beating up on the Mets gives them a lot of confidence. But Olsen, man, the home runs he was hitting, incredible. Good grief, I mean, they forgot about Freddie quick, didn't they? So he's been doing outstanding. I think there's still a little bit more that they can get out of the rest of the guys. We haven't heard Acuna a whole lot this year. It's been a little bit quiet from him. So they certainly, but they're making up for it. I think to me that series was more about the Mets offense being quiet than anything else.
Yeah, and I want to give the Braves pitching, especially the bullpen, a lot of credit for that. And I think bullpens are more important than starters. Your starters can't be bad. But I think bullpens in the postseason is arguably the most important element that you have to score runs, duh. But I think the better bullpens will win in the postseason.
Well, it depends on the roster construction. So you remember when the Royals won? I mean, it was a 5-inning game, right? Because as soon as they gave the ball to the bullpen, it was 100 miles an hour, between five different guys.
Right.
You weren't going to score any runs on those guys. I think the Achilles heel for the Yankees is clearly their bullpen. I think they're struggling. Britton's done. Aroldis Chapman's not the same guy that we remember him being. So I think they got some worries there. But if Judge and Stanton can continue to just hit home runs all over the place, then, you know, maybe they don't have to lean on their bullpen as much. But I think that's probably their Achilles heel right now. So they're going to put a little bit more stress on their starters. They're going to have to, because their bullpen is really Swiss cheese right now.
All right. Is there a team playing today that will go for either league that you think could be in the league championship series in the World Series?
So league championship series. Can you answer that? Ask me that question again, Adam.
Is there a, let's go American League first. Okay. Mariners, Rays. Mariners, Jays, Guardians, Rays. Are either of any of those four teams good enough to be in the ALCS?
I gotcha. Yes. So the Mariners are hot right now. I don't know if they have enough. Julio Rodriguez would be across a whole lot more platforms, commercials, everything, if he didn't play in Seattle.
Yeah.
That guy's freaking good.
Amazing.
I wanted him to win the home run derby. I think the Blue Jays are good enough. I do. I think, you know, on the National League side, I think the Cardinals are good enough. As much as I hate giving them credit on our previous conversation.
Yes.
They're a pretty good team, Adam. You know, I love Arenado. If you don't like Arenado, that says a lot about you, because that guy's freaking good.
Tremendous.
And he deserves the platinum gold glove again. I hope he gets it. He's so special over there. You know, and I play Longoria, who's really special over there, but this guy's on a different planet. So I think that probably be my pick. The Blue Jays are pretty good. Their offense is pretty stout. I like them a lot. I don't know if they're going to be able to pitch enough to make it happen. But the Blue Jays and the Cardinals are probably going to be my two picks. I mean, I would love for the Phillies to get in. Trust me, I got a lot of friends over there. But, man, they really limped into the playoffs. And so I don't know if they've got enough. I don't know if they have enough to be able to make it through. Getting Bryce Harper healthy certainly helps, sure. But, holy cow, I don't think they have enough to be able to beat the Cardinals. I don't.
They will have a starting pitching advantage in the first two games of the series with Wheeler and then Nola going tomorrow. But – as I said, I don't think starting pitching is the most important thing. I think bullpen is the most important. And from a romantic angle, I want to see Albert Pujols stay playing. I do. Yeah. And you and I both don't like the Cardinals. Yeah. I hate the Cardinals more than I hate the Yankees. And
wow.
I just think it's awesome that Albert Pujols not only is playing, but playing well. And I saw the story. I haven't read too far into it, but I saw the story where he said he was thinking about retirement in June when he was struggling. We're certainly glad he didn't do that. All right, real quick, you've got the Dodgers in the National League. Who's your American League pick?
The Astros are so good,
yeah.
Adam. I can't pick them, though. You know that. So I'll go with the Blue Jays.
Dodgers?
Dodgers, Blue Jays.
That would be very nice.
I've
got the Braves and the Astros again.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm going to go with Dusty Baker this time. We're going to get him his World Series.
I know.
I understand. But Dusty Baker deserves something like that.
Well, and I'll say this. So Tim Kirkjian was throwing shade on your boys for not being able to hit home runs at any given time. And I'm pretty sure Pete Alonso got close to 50 this year. So
he had a great year, but they need to get back to doing what they were doing, which is grinding out at bats and making pitchers work. They have gotten away from that the last couple of months.
Well, the new kid, Alvarez, he might be the shot in the arm that they need right now and just bring, you know, some of that young energy right now. And he's good. I don't know if they're going to trust him to give him the keys, but he might be the guy that gets them a whole lot more respect than they're currently getting offensively.
I certainly hope so. Elliot Johnson, I will talk to you very soon, my friend. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, Adam.
You got it. Elliot Johnson here on the Adam Gold Show. All right, when we come back, our mailbag segment, we go in the mentions next.
You're talking to me? Then who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here.
By the way, they are still scoreless. Bottom of the third in Cleveland, one out, man on first for the Guardians. All right, we do this every Friday. Your opportunity to speak to the show on Twitter, @AGoldFan, and in this case, @TheFanRookie. We're going to go in the mentions. All right, from Fatal Oblivion on Twitter, Dennis. Hear me out.
Okay.
This is great because it covers two different sports. How much would it cost to get Coach Rod Brind'Amour to take over as head coach of the Carolina Panthers?
However much it needs. Back up the truck.
So here's my answer to that. It's pretty simple. Is that coaching is coaching. You can always, Brind'Amour could be the head coach of the Panthers, hire everybody else to do X and O, and just be the guy in charge. And I'll use this as an example. Gary Williams, former coach at the University of Maryland, basketball, great coach, right? Also, early in his career, coached men's soccer. What?
Okay.
Gary Williams doesn't know jack from soccer.
I mean, he's run a 4-4-2. What's he running here?
But coaching is coaching. Mm-hmm. Leading is leading. And I would argue that that would be a very good thing. It would be a good thing to do. I'm not saying that the Panthers should hire Rod Brind'Amour, but what you need to find more than an X and O guy is a leader, right? That's the guy that should be coaching your team. So I think it's a great question, even though it was said in jest. We took it seriously. All right, Dennis, you have something?
Yeah, so I did a video earlier this week on Monday, actually, of, what if Matt Rhule went through the drive-thru and got a Happy Meal?
Right.
Our good friend Lauren Brownlow just quote tweeted and said, oh, no.
I gotta go back and look at it. Email me the video. I saw it.
It's on Twitter. I was just going to send it to you.
Just send it to me on Twitter. I guess I could have looked up your Twitter and at the Fan Rookie and found it. All right. Yeah. This is from last night. Both of these are from last night, and they are related. Jason Fitz of ESPN, who does a lot of online stuff and does also host with Sarah Spain in the evenings, said, while everyone keeps poop emoji on this game, meaning last night's Colts win over the Broncos, let's also acknowledge that in mid-July, you would kill to watch it. Even bad football is better than no football at all. And, well, look, for people, some people it is, and
sure.
I will illustrate the point in a second. As I responded to him, like pizza. Bad pizza's still pretty good. There's another analogy, too, that I will not make.
Okay.
But bad pizza still, I mean, yeah, you can be really bad. I would argue that what we saw last night is like the worst possible pizza you could have. Anyway, so I pointed out last night on Twitter that it's fun. It's cool to see people, especially people who cover the NFL. And we, as you alluded to, and we played the clip, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit on Amazon Prime last night, acknowledge that bad football. Tom Brady saying, I watch a lot of bad football around the league now. So I point that out. Go Ducks, YNWA, which I guess is you never walk alone. Go Reds. What are you talking about? Every single Sunday has been absolutely electric. I will just say that beauty is in the eye, right? And sometimes close is good enough. And what we saw last night is probably the greatest illustration of the way people process great games or bad games. Last night was a horrendous game. But fourth quarter, close, mistake, comeback, tie, overtime. So there was drama, and there was the opportunity to second-guess the coach and criticize the star quarterback. So there was enough there for everybody to be talking about it today. So I get it. Some people will construe that as great. Wasn't great, but that's okay.
Dramatic is different.
See, I put this as part of the poll question yesterday. We didn't really talk about it. Do you prefer college or NFL football?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't know. I really have to ponder on this one because sometimes – college football may not be always great, but it can be very entertaining.
College football is always entertaining. It is always dramatic, even though there are so many blowouts, right?
Yeah.
There's always enough there, even though the football ain't great. Now, the football is great in certain places.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the football ain't great. NFL football is almost always better.
Yeah.
But the drama and the atmosphere of a college football game changes everything.
Yeah.
Right? Just changes
everything. If encompassing everything. All that in together, then I might lean towards college.
Right. I think the NFL is a better product.
Sure.
But the college game, and for a lot of people, they don't want any part of the NFL except for fantasy. And that's why they're watching Red Zone.
Yeah.
Got no time for Red Zone. But, yeah, I prefer the NFL game. Of course, this year, the NFL game has been just trash. And real quick from Chuck, do you really think Aaron Judge will leave the Yankees, Adam? And my answer is, I do. I do think he will. And I think he'll end up with the Giants. But I've been wrong before.
This is the Adam Gold Show.